Well, we've been looking together at a vision for us as a church going forwards, particularly thinking of coming out of a period of strange days, really, with COVID, with lockdown. And this being a bit of a fresh beginning for us as a church family, we've been looking at a vision for us as a church. And that vision we've broken down into six words. And so far, we've looked at three of them. We've said as a church that we want to be a church who worship the Lord Jesus, who grow to become more like him, who are equipped to serve his church. That's the last 3 weeks. If you've been in Sunday Club, you've been doing something different. You've been looking at God's providence. If you're in Covey's, you've been doing the same. You've been looking at this vision, working through these words. Well, today, or together this morning, we're going to look at the fourth word in our vision. And Chris mentioned it earlier. It's the word witness. Here's the sentence with each of these words. We're trying to use a sentence that captures something of what we mean when we use this word. So what do we mean by witness as a church? Well, in our witness, we want to do this. We serve our community and engage them with the gospel that they may believe. That word witness, as we saw earlier, was used by the Lord Jesus in his promise to his disciples just before his ascension, there in Acts 1 and verse 8. We saw on the screen earlier these words. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Who knows what a witness is? Have you ever been a witness? Now, through the Bible, there's lots of things that God points to as being witnesses. Sometimes it's a stone. God has done something great. He's rescued his people, and he tells his people to set up a big stone. And he says, "This stone is going to be a witness to you, to remind you of what I've done." Sometimes it's an altar, a place of sacrifice. "This altar is going to be a witness to you, to remind you of what I'm like." Sometimes it's people themselves, people who are called to witness in a court of law. When something has happened, did it really happen? Who saw if it happened? Are there any witnesses? Can we trust them? Are they reliable? Luke, when he starts his gospel, he says, "How did I find out what to write in my gospel? Well, I went to speak to eyewitnesses to check and see, did Jesus really do these things? Did he say these things?" And Jesus here in the book of Acts says his disciples, and that's us if we're trusting in Jesus, we're to be witnesses to him. In other words, people should be able to look at us or listen to us and see and understand something of who Jesus is. Well, we're going to break this down into two areas this morning. The first is this: we witness to Jesus with our lives. Now, if you've got a Bible to hand, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Matthew's Gospel together. Matthew chapter 5, it's the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says some extraordinary things in the Sermon on the Mount. Things that, if we're reading it for the first time, surprise us, shock us even. And I think perhaps one of the most shocking comes in verse 14. Speaking to his disciples, he says to them, do you see it? Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 5. "You are the light of the world. Does that surprise you? Now, elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Maybe that doesn't surprise us. Elsewhere, Jesus stands up and says in a loud voice, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And again, maybe that doesn't surprise us. Jesus, the light of the world, the one who brings truth and hope and salvation. But us? You? The world that is dark needs you to bring some light. You. You are the light of the world. What do you do with light? Well, I think I've got something to help us. Here it is. This is a light. At least I hope it is. I didn't test it before I came out. What do you do with a light? Plug it in. That's right. And underneath this stage, there are plug sockets. Hopefully. There we go. Let's hope I don't blow the electrics. It is a light. Now, what do you do with a light once you've plugged it in? Display it. That's right, you don't hide it away, do you? When you've turned the light on, you don't sort of cover it up and put it in a cupboard or underneath a bowl. No, you find something like a table. And you put the light on the table, don't you? So that it can shed that light, share that light, make that light useful. So that if you're in that room, you don't walk into the table. Or if you're in that room, you're able to read what you're reading. Light is helpful, isn't it? It's a good thing, and when we need light in a dark space, well, we put it up. Perhaps most of our lights at home, they're fixed to the ceiling, aren't they? In a high place so that they can shed that light everywhere. Or they're fixed to the wall like the ones in the church are here. Look at what Jesus says next. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. So Jesus helps us to understand what is the light that we have. How is that light going to be seen? It's not a glow. It's not that we walk into a room and suddenly there's brightness. Perhaps with some of us that's true. No, the light is symbolic of something, isn't it? It's, as Jesus says here, it's the good deeds we might do to others. The goodness that we might bring. And look at what he says about those good deeds. Those good deeds shouldn't bring praise on ourselves. We don't do good to others to get a reward from them. We don't do good to others to get a reward from God. We do good to others that others might praise God. Do you see that? So that what we're doing is reflecting something of what he is like. Does Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Any light we bring comes from him, after all. God is light. Our light is a witness to him. So how will we witness to him? How will we bring light to others? Well, some of that will happen as we grow. That's what we looked at a couple of weeks ago. As we grow to become more like Jesus. It means that we'll be different, we'll be distinctive in our relationships, won't it? In our homes or in our workplaces or within our streets. As we become more like Jesus, we should become more gracious, more loving, more forgiving, less gossipy, more truthful. We should be good friends to others, shouldn't we? And we should even love our enemies. Now that is light in the darkness, isn't it? Being like that, living like that, will make a difference to those around us, will bring good into their lives. Some of the light we might bring individually might be getting involved in things that we know the Lord cares about. Things to do with justice, helping those who are weak or poor, caring for the vulnerable. That is to bring light into our community, isn't it? That the light of God, who is just, who cares for the vulnerable. And you know, as we live in this way, as we act in this way, the Bible tells us it ought to provoke questions in others. Let me read some words from 1 Peter 3. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Remember, it all starts with worship. That's where we began our vision. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. How do they know you have hope? Well, it might come through in our actions, in our activity, in our demeanor. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. We should individually be light in the world. You are the light of the world, said Jesus. Where Jesus has placed you, in your home, in your workplace, in your street, we should be beacons of light. We need to grow in that, don't we? Some of us can think of opportunities we've had, times that we've perhaps been able to do that, perhaps times when we've messed that up or not done that or covered over the light. But as we go forward as a church, we need to help each other to grow in this together. But we also need to think about how we do it collectively as a church. How together, working together, we can be light within this community. Now, Chris asked some questions earlier about who's been involved in different things. Who saw the beacon being lit in Cheam Park on Thursday evening? I reckon that's about 7 people. Lots of us, I guess, didn't know there was a beacon being lit in Cheam Park. These beacons being lit around the country, around the Commonwealth. There was one in Cheam Park. Most of us didn't go to see it. My guess is it's not lit anymore. I saw a couple of gas tanks, I think, connected to it. And probably the gas has run out. And so probably most of us won't miss it. We didn't see the light it was showing. It made no difference in our lives. We survived through Thursday night into Friday. the beacon's not lit anymore, we don't miss it. Could that be true of us as a church? If we were to disappear from Cheam Village, if CBC was to no longer exist, either as a building or any of us, if we were to all move away, would our local community miss us? Would they realise there's something missing from amongst us? There's something good that is gone. There's a light that's disappeared. You see, that's the call that Jesus makes to us. You are the light of the world. We are to be seen. You can't hide a city on a hill. You don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. You don't stick a church in a community for it not to be seen or felt. Are we having the impact we ought to have in our community? Again, praise God, there's good things I think that we're doing. There's good differences I think that we're making, but could we do more? Should we do more? So much so that if the light went out, it would be missed. Well, if we're to do more, we're to become more like Jesus, aren't we? We're to be more like him, live more like him, individually and collectively, and that will have an impact in our community. So we're going to have two readings from Romans 1 and from Romans 10.
So this is Romans 1, verse 14 to 17. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
The next reading is Romans 10, verse 9 to 15. If you declare with your faith that we proclaim, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Do keep that passage open. Perhaps go back to Romans 1, first of all. We're going to use these verses to help us with our second thing this morning. So we've seen that we're to witness with our lives. Well, secondly, we're to witness with our words. See, our witness is not just our actions. Right at the heart of what we believe is a message, is some news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. Listen again to what Paul says in Romans 1. He is eager, verse 15, to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. He's eager to share this good news. And listen what he says next about the good news. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. What a message. The gospel This message is the power of God. It's the means by which God brings salvation. We are saved through a message, aren't we? Now imagine if I told you this morning that I'd got a message from Nick. Anyone heard from Nick recently? Anyone seen Nick recently? Nick's gone to Moldova, hasn't he? He's been there over a month. He's now got under a month left. But he sent me a really important message yesterday. He said to me, "Nigel, can you make sure that the church hear this message?" Well, imagine if I forgot. Or imagine if I told you that I've got this message from Nick and I saw him and, well, let me tell you what Nick was wearing. He's known for his fancy dress, isn't he? But you should rightly say to me, "No, Nigel, I don't want to hear about what Nick was wearing. I want to know what he said. What was his message for us?" Well, shall we hear his message?
Hi everybody, this is Nick, in case you've forgotten who I am. Just wanted to say we're hoping to run a holiday club in Holokani. Here are some of the kids. Say hi everybody.
Hello!
We're wanting to run a holiday club in a couple of weeks' time, and we'd love to raise some money to be able to do that. You guys would love a holiday club, wouldn't you?
Yes!
Yeah, and these are just some of the kids that we hope to work with. And so we want to raise some money to have games, have some fun, have some food, and to bring the message of Jesus to the people in Holokani. So that's going to be loads of fun. Have we had a good time today, kids?
Yes!
We've been playing some games inside and outside. The weather is lovely here in Holokani. We've been having a great time today. And we've been eating crisps. Who's still eating? Show us your crisps. You've still got some crisps today. And yeah, we just hope to have a great time. And we need a little bit of money. And I've been told that you guys might do a little bake sale for us at CBC. And we'd be really grateful for that. So that would be fantastic. So we really value that. Do miss you guys. And I look forward to seeing you all very, very soon. It should be great to be back before very long. So everybody say goodbye from Holokani.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And we look forward to seeing you all very soon. Goodbye from me. Ciao, ciao. La revedere.
Now that was quite an important message, wasn't it? Did you hear what he said? He's hoping to run a holiday club in Holokani. Holokani is the village in Moldova where a church has been started. Nick's been going there every weekend to stay and been running a kids club on Saturday mornings. And they want to do a holiday club. But they need some help. They want us to give some money towards the running of that holiday club. And to do that, he's asked if we might bake some cakes next week. And if we can't bake some cakes, if we might bring some money to buy some cakes next week. Now imagine if I hadn't shared that message. There'd be no cakes next week. You'd have no money to buy cakes that weren't even there next week. And Nick wouldn't be able to run the holiday club. And why does he want to run the holiday club? Well, he said right in the middle of that message so that he could share the good news about Jesus with the children in the village in Moldova. So that's an important message, isn't it? Maybe some of us might help bake some cakes this week and bring them along next Sunday. Maybe some of us might bring some money. Maybe we might send out a message to you as a church as to how else we might donate that money and do it electronically. As well as by cash on Sunday morning next week. That's an important message from Nick. We have an important message in the gospel, don't we? Even more important than that. Good news. Good news of salvation. Come with me to Romans 10 and we'll see that good news unpacked a little bit more. Romans 10 and verse 9, you see, this is the heart of the gospel. Paul says this, Romans 10 verse 9, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That is the unique message of Christianity, isn't it? Not if you are a good person, you will be saved. Not if you do enough good things, you will be saved. Not if you're not as bad as that person, you will be saved. No, it all centres on Jesus, who he is and what he's done. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, he is who he says he is. He is God. He is in charge. He has authority to tell me what to do. He is Lord. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he died, but he rose again. And that's it. Say that with your mouth, believe that with your heart, and the Apostle Paul says, you will be saved. He goes on, verse 10, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, won't be turned away. Open to all. We have this message, this powerful message, don't we? Jesus has come to save us. He's died. He's risen again. All we need do is turn to him in faith, believe that he is who he says he is, that he did what the Bible says he did, and we'll be right with God. We have hope for eternity. We can know God in this life. We can have his Spirit living within us. Saved. There's no difference, verse 12, between Jew and Gentile. It's the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then listen to his logic, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And now how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? You see the logic? People need to hear this message if they're to believe. They need to hear. How are they going to hear unless we speak it? Unless we tell it? Unless we share it? Now, we might do that individually, but we should definitely be doing that collectively, shouldn't we? Sharing this message, witnessing with our words. That should happen every Sunday here. Every Sunday should be a witness to the Lord Jesus, shouldn't it? Who he is and what he's done. You should be able to invite a friend along on a Sunday for them to hear the good news about Jesus. This is our weekly, if you like, evangelistic event. It's here that we speak of Jesus, sing of Jesus, pray to Jesus. The gospel is shared and made known. But we also need to do other things, don't we? Other ways in which we can share the good news with those that God has placed us amongst. Help them to hear this message that they too might respond. Well, let's be praying that this might be true of us as a church, that we might witness to Jesus through our lives, even this week, that we might witness to Jesus through our words, and that the Lord Jesus might guide us into how he wants to do those things collectively, to have a bigger impact within the community in which he's placed us. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, said Jesus, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Amen.